Couple of things. Christian Hoffman, thank you for playing the doxology and leading worship for us. That was a blessing to us all. Made Jesus happy. All right? Thank you so much. The other thing is that on the bulletin and screen, we have a creative way of communicating the message this morning. Our secretary, Christy Holcomb, has a master's degree in art history and has a very creative understanding of how to put concepts together. So, given her permission to go ahead and be creative with all of that and what it means, and some people have asked me this morning, explain that. Well, I'll get to it, right? I'll get to it. Every year, there are new words that come out in the dictionary. In 2018, these words came out in the dictionary. Solopreneur, right? Solopreneur means an entrepreneur who's going at it by themselves. Solo, all right? The other word is fabulosity, okay? Fabulosity is a state of feeling fabulous. Advertorial, that's a new word. Advertorial means an advertisement as well as an editorial. And another word that's come out is vacay, which means a short vacation. In 2011, there was a new word that came out called adulting. Okay? I was kind of worried about that. You know, what does that mean? You know, adulting. Well, adulting means to be responsible for your life, right? Adulting means to be responsible for your life, thus the screen, the papers that we have, the obligations that we must take care of, they mount upon us, and there's obligations in our life that we must be responsible for. We need to be responsible for our own lives. Very important for us. May seem normal to some people as regular life. Yeah, that's what you do to be an adult. But there's a word now for that to complement that feeling, okay? This morning, I usually wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning. But this morning, I woke up, and because of the colder weather, I said, Lord, you know, it's Sunday. I'd like to sleep an extra 2 hours, please, right? Well, that's not going to happen. I had to be an adult, right? I had to show up this morning. Had to do what I'm supposed to do. That's what it means to be an adult. That's what adulting means. When in 2002, for about 4 years, I was the pastor at John Wesley United Methodist Church in Victoria, Texas. And there was a man in the church that I had grown to love, a gentleman by the name of Bob Hoke, H-O-K-E. You could look him up, Dr. Bob Hoke. Dr. Bob Hoke passed away some 9 years ago, and Bob Hoke was a mentor of mine. Though he's a church member, he became a mentor of mine. And Bob Hoke was a psychiatrist, and to be a psychiatrist, you have to be an MD. So he was an MD, a psychiatrist, and a retired naval officer. His specialty was to go down into submarines for 6 months, surfacing every 2 to 3 months to resupply at times, but they could stay up to 6 months underwater if they needed to in a state of warfare. So Bob Hoke helped keep the sailors' minds and bodies together. His claim to fame was that he was the only person to play the piano in the depths of the ocean floor. The submarine, the Henry Clay, a Poseidon missile submarine, had a piano, and it was the only submarine in America and in Russia to have known to have had a piano in it. So Bob Hoke played the piano, and this was classified at the time. You couldn't say that you had a piano in a submarine, right? So he played the piano in the depths of the ocean. Very talented man. One day I was in his living room talking with he and his wife, Penny, And he noticed I was tired. Josh had been born, and I was visiting him and his wife, Penny. And he said, "Peter, you're tired." He says, "Yeah, Bob. I have to get up whenever Josh starts crying." And that was my job whenever the children cried, okay? I would get up, and I would change the child, the baby, and I would bring them to their mother so that they could be nursed. And afterwards, I would go into the living room or the den and lay down in the recliner with them on my chest and maybe watch reruns of Gunsmoke or something, I don't know, and kind of help the kids go back to sleep. Hopefully, they would. Sometimes they'd get a second wind and they'd start playing and I'd have to be awake with them. But such is the nature of having a baby, right? There's responsibilities that go with that. So every time Josh would cry or Peter or Emily, you know, I would go and take care of them. Did I want to do that? No, I didn't want to do that. But that's what an adult does, right? That's what an adult does. They're sleep deprived when a baby is born. And you go and take care of that. So what Bob Hoke says is that that's the definition of an adult. The definition of an adult, according to psychiatrist Bob Hoke, is doing the things that you don't want to do. Is there an amen in here? Yeah. I know that's true. Definition of an adult is doing the things that you struggle to do. Sometimes we don't want to go to work. Sometimes there is an ingredient that you need to finish making supper and somebody's got to go to the store to get it. Sometimes you need to take care of business. Sometimes you have to eat your vegetables, right? Sometimes you need to push away that dessert, right? Sometimes we have to be an adult. Thus, I was thinking of the word Christian. Adulting, Christianing, well, we don't need that word for Christian because Christian is a verb. Sometimes being a Christian isn't all that easy. Sometimes being a Christian isn't all that simple. Sometimes it's darn right hard to forgive. Sometimes it's darn right hard to pray for our enemies. Sometimes it's difficult to develop a regular life of prayer. Being a Christian isn't always simple. Yes, we like to have comfort and we like for there to be money in the bank, and we like for there to be health and wellness. We like for our children and our family members and relationships to be solid and good on even ground, right? But sometimes they're not. Life happens. Life gets in the way of our joy, of our simple way of thinking about the world. And it's hard to set boundaries. It's hard to have expectations with reasonable goals and measurable goals so that people can be successful in their life. It's not easy. It's difficult to do that. Jesus speaks to this in Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 31. What happens is that there is a rich young ruler who goes up to Jesus and says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus knows the rich young ruler. And he says, "Well, first you need to obey the Ten Commandments and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love the Lord God with the heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself." And the rich young ruler says, "Well, I've done all these things, right? I've done all these things." Jesus knows the heart of this rich young ruler, and he says, "Okay, now go sell all your possessions and give your money to the poor." Ah! Now you're meddling, Jesus, you know. I can't do that, right? It wasn't about the money. It wasn't about the rich young ruler's possessions. It was about what the rich young ruler would not give up because of those possessions. They were in between he and God. Disciple Peter was hearing this conversation. And disciple Peter goes up to Jesus and says, "You know, Jesus, we've left our homes. We left our moms, our dads, our wives, our children, and our work. We've left everything to follow you. That should be enough." And Jesus speaks to Peter. Jesus says, "You know, Peter, unless you leave your home, your mother and your father and your wife and your children and your work, you're not fit for the kingdom of God." It's not about family. It's not about work. It's not about any of that. It's about what we put in between us and God. God wants it all. God wants it all. How do we do that? How do we give all to God? Well, there comes the 2 Timothy passage, chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. It's a wonderful passage. Here, Paul writes, "I pour myself out as a libation. I pour myself out as a drink offering." A libation to us means a drink, usually an adult drink, right? But in biblical times, a libation was a drink offering to the pagan gods. As they sacrificed animals, as they gave oil, they also gave wine that was poured out on the altar as a drink offering to the pagan gods. What Paul is saying is that he has sacrificed everything. He's not left anything between he and God. He pours himself out as a living sacrifice. So what does it mean for us to pour ourselves out as a living sacrifice? You know, God wants our phoniness. You heard me right. God wants our phoniness. God wants our fear. God wants our worry. God wants our hate. God wants our anger. God wants our resentments. God wants it all. God wants it. Sometimes there's been places in my life where I've had to pray for forgiveness 3 or 4 times a week, you know. Truth be told, 3 or 4 times a day. Sometimes things weren't always that good, and I've had to go to the Lord in prayer 3 or 4 times a day. Lord, forgive me. Help me. I don't want this to become between you and me, Lord. I give it to you. I'm looking forward to hunting season. I want to be selfish about this because I take my devotional book, my prayer books, with me up to the deer blind, you know, or driving in the truck. You know, it's like I can read my devotionals and share a joy that I have with God. I love to hunt. I love to provide the meat to the community. I mean, I've got folks in my telephone directory where I can call, "Well, I got a deer for you." And there's several people in this community that I can do that for. And I go and I do that. I'm looking forward to that. So I'm giving God a portion of my pleasure and my leisure, right? This is what I'm giving to you, God, for the purpose of your community, for your faithful people. God doesn't just want your brokenness and your pain and your heartache. God wants your pleasure and your joy and your leisure as well. So I'd like for you to think about how you can bring God into all of it. Not just some of it. What does it mean to go out and enjoy? Why we invite God to our table when we pray before we eat. As a fan of Christian history, I want to share with you a couple of stories. One is a story that between the 400s to the 1100s, Germanic and Viking tribes barbaric tribes as well came down from the north as well as from the east to sack Rome, right? They wanted to nail the Roman Empire. They wanted to tear it to pieces. And there was a Viking horde that came into France, and they were about to overcome a kingdom. And the Viking chieftain said, listen, surrender or you all die, and we'll take it all anyway. But if you surrender, you get to still keep your kingdom, and we'll work together, and you pay me money, and I'll make sure that nobody hurts you, right? And so the Viking chieftain noticed that the king had a beautiful daughter, and he said, and plus, I want to marry your daughter. And so the king said, okay, we can make this deal, but I tell you what, before you marry my daughter, you got to be baptized into the Christian faith. And the chieftain said, okay, I'll do that, you're right? And so he got all his army to get into the water, and the bishop of the church was about to baptize the chieftain and his large army in the river, and he told them to go into the water, of which they all drew their swords, and they got into the water, and all you could see were these arms and swords above the water for their baptism. And after the baptism, the bishop and the king asked the chieftain, why did you take your swords out of their sheaths and raise them up into the air until when the baptism came, when it came to kind of be baptized? And the chieftain said, we will give our bodies to your God, but our sword belongs to Odin, the god of war. The god of war. So we don't surrender completely our lives. We only surrender parts of it that are convenient. Holding on to resentments and anger, holding on to unforgiveness, not sharing our pleasures and our joys, which are all benefits of God's passion for us. God wants it all. God wants your soul, your mind, your body, your pocketbook. God wants your life. And in return, God will bless you even more. God will bless you even more. Last story is one of the early leaders of the church was a man by the name of Polycarp. And Polycarp came before a Roman magistrate. Or he came before a Roman official, rather. And in 156, year 156, Polycarp was 86 years old. And the Roman official wanted Polycarp to denounce his atheism. Now, an atheist to us was different than an atheist then because, according to the Roman official, Polycarp was an atheist because he did not worship the Roman emperor or the Roman gods. Polycarp was a Christian. And so the Roman official wanted Polycarp to denounce Christ. In fact, he wanted him to curse Christ. And Polycarp knew what awaited him with his answer because he knew that with his answer he would be fed to the wild animals in the Colosseum or that he would be burned at the stake. And Polycarp answered, Christ has been nothing but good to me. Christ has been nothing but a blessing to me. I will not denounce Christ, who for the 86 years of my life has been my joy and my all. And with that, confession. I wish it had ended in a better outcome. But Polycarp was burned. on a pyre. Our faithfulness doesn't always ensure a peaceful, sweet ending. But our faithfulness does ensure us that God will provide and walk with us and empower us and nurture us every step of the way. And so this morning, I'm going to invite you this day, let's just try it one day at a time. If you can do it this day, let's try it the next day, and then the next day. I want you to think about what it means to share with God everything, and I mean everything. Share with God all of your brokenness, as well as all of your joys and pleasures with the Lord your God, who loves you beyond measure and wants to share every facet of your life with Him. In the name of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.